Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for anybody but ourselves. None of the A's, none of the Anons, none of the anything.
None of them there, guys.
The views expressed are ours and ours alone. If you are expecting this to be a 100% recovery show with a 100% recovery topic, you will get the topic, but we live by Rule 62. Don't take yourself so damn seriously. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley, what if I needed a meeting?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, what if I needed a pastry because I didn't hand you the box?
What if I needed a meeting?
Then you should put your shoes on and go to a meeting.
What do you think, Mark? What if I needed a meeting?
You should move a little closer to the computer and turn up the volume.
No, this is not a meeting.
Where two or more are gathered, where's three of us.
Isn't that an awesome pastry? I love those.
There's
little things.
There's three of us.
I love these.
I know. They're all like and creamy in the inside, and they have raisins in them, and sometimes in the bottom. They're awesome.
I got to tell you, when we went to an interesting meeting. We went to a meeting at the North San Diego County Alano Club. I'm sitting out in the smoking area having a cigar. This rabbit, like, basically walks right up, right, like, within a couple feet of me. Walks right up, looks at me, doesn't look particularly scared, takes off. It was kind of a strange thing. And they were having this gigantic bingo thing inside. There was 700 blue hairs in this place. It was quite interesting. We're getting texts from my daughter they've decided to give away their one dog, and now she's rather depressed about it.
Do anything fun this weekend, Bruce?
This weekend, no, not particularly. Did our traveling group, went to a meeting at an Alano Club. The power was out, so we had it out in the parking lot. It was actually a great meeting. 4th of July, which was, last week, didn't do a thing. Didn't watch any fireworks. You know what I like, though, is I play some online gaming with these guys in Britain, and they're like, hey, how you doing today? I go, oh, we're celebrating We Kick Britain's Ass Day today. And they're like, what's that? And I go, well, and the one guy goes, well, we don't have 4th of July here. I said, I think you do have 4th of July. You just don't celebrate anything. It was awesome. So, oh, look, I'm looking at the pastry box. I got to go right here. You know what that means? When I'm looking in the pastry box, that means, well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Thank you.
I had to let Mark finish chewing his pastry.
Okay, let's see. Shout outs to everybody I shouted out to on the last two shows.
Which are pretty flipping good. Here, so you at home can hear this.
The latest numbers on addiction are in, according to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. The worldwide statistics on drug use are in. Use of what they're now calling these things traditional drugs. That would include cocaine and heroin, marijuana, stuff like that. They're actually saying that according to their studies that the use of those items is now stable. In other words, it doesn't go up, doesn't go down. It's stable. However, they have noticed that governments in several areas of the world are struggling with what they're calling legal highs. These are new synthetic substances that are, people find out about them underground on the internet or, and because they're not legal. They're not illegal because we don't know what they are.
Right.
Now, so they're technically it's a legal high, but these things are ending up with a lot of people in the hospital, people dying, people chewing off each other's faces. All kinds of interesting things are going on because of these.
I had a guy at Earthlink that I worked with, and that was his big thing, was doing these things that weren't illegal because the FDA hadn't even, like, considered anything. Like, this guy was taking some kind of – he tells me this, and I'm like, you're doing what? He was taking some kind of horse tranquilizer, and I'm like, you know, horses are a lot bigger than you are. You know, you might want to be a little cautious with that.
Yeah. Yes, so the report was just stating the facts. Didn't really say that there was any way to fix this. They said that I'm quoting here, the adverse effects and addictive potential of most of these uncontrolled substances are at best poorly understood.
I don't think there is any way to fix that.
Yeah.
Dope fiends will find a way.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, here is an interesting – speaking of dope fiends – well, actually, it's not dope fiends. It is a drug. There's a new study being published in – it will be published in November of this year. It hasn't come out yet. But in the issue of Alcoholism Clinical and Experimental Research, a preview of the article is available online. The study was done on a drug called – it's a synthetic drug called finasteride. It was originally found to help – reduce testicular swelling or whatever in people that were having prostate issues. Yes,
that's different from Prozac.
Yes. Okay. Well, whatever. So
a little bit.
You're having Prozac. Why can't I say that word? Prostate surgery. So there's going to be swelling. There's going to be side effects, and apparently this drug helped ameliorate those side effects. During the course of using this drug for that purpose, they found that the men who took the drug suddenly sprouted hair on their heads where they previously had bald patches. So they started using
and
it as
their hands.
they became rather hirsute. So they started using the drug as an off-label treatment for male pattern baldness. Then they discovered that the men who took this for male pattern baldness suddenly decided they didn't really want to drink anymore. A marked decrease in drinking, whether it's social or heavy drinking or whatever, they suddenly didn't really want to drink.
Kill two birds with one stone.
So they started, they get hairy and they don't drink.
is so that the only place they get it on their head?
It doesn't say.
The side effect is you get a nice coating of hair on your back.
Yeah, it just says that they're using it as an off-label treatment for male pattern hair loss. It started out as a drug for gut. Oh, and the other side effect, unfortunately, is that not only do you not want to drink, you really don't want to have sex either. So
wait a second.
Yeah. So now you got a full head of hair. You're getting laid all the time, but you don't want to.
Yeah.
You got a full head of hair. You're sober. Life is going awesome. Really couldn't care less about sex.
Wow.
I'm not sure if this is a good drug or not.
That kind of sucks.
But when coupled with Cialis.
There you go. Going up and down at the same time.
Well, it'll be giving you testosterone.
The next story takes place in Upper Derby.
Ireland?
Well, I don't know. The story was published in the Daily Mail, which is a UK newspaper.
Look.
But the wording of the story sounds more like an American news story. So, and the people that, one of the persons that was in it was originally from Philadelphia.
Well, let's hear it.
So, at any rate, a bunch of police officers were, they're bicycle cops. They were participating in the Upper Derby Bicycle School for cops, making the final run of their round, were a little bit startled when they rode past the baseball diamond at the park and happened upon a man and a woman having sex on a bench.
Nothing wrong with that.
The police were quite shocked, but they weren't quite as shocked as the couple involved, who were then subsequently arrested by 25 bicycle cops. Can you imagine getting arrested by 25 cops?
Did they wait till after?
No,
I'll bet
because
they didn't.
While there wasn't
they didn't
anyone,
even let him finish.
While there wasn't anyone around when they first rode up on these people,
then why bother them?
The minute that they rode up and like said, "Wow, okay, well, we're going to have to ticket you or arrest you or whatever," a bunch of teenagers came by and then, you know, hilarity
ensued.
I bet
the teenagers were bitching at the cops.
What'd you do that for?
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
We were watching from up on the hill.
They came to rescue them.
Yeah. Bunch of teenage boys with hard-ons were there.
Yeah.
And binoculars. What are you guys doing?
Bird watching.
You're effing it up for us.
Okay. Let's see. We already did that one. We already did that one. And we did that one. I'm trying to scroll down to find more stories we haven't done yet. Okay, in West Salem.
Which one?
I believe it's Oregon.
Yeah, because there is a West Salem.
Yeah. Let's see. Curtis Baltz, 36 years old, has been charged with disorderly conduct. He probably should be charged with practicing without a license. He was riding his bike past a boy and his mother, and the boy was playing with his loose tooth in his mouth. Curtis approached the couple, said, "What's wrong with your tooth?" The boy, you know, grinned and wiggled his loose tooth, and Curtis Baltz reached out, ripped it out of his head, and threw it away.
Ow.
So, you know, immediately the boy's mouth starts bleeding profusely. His mother rushed him inside the house and called the police. The boy said that his mouth hurt really bad. He started crying.
What about the tooth fairy?
Tooth fairy ain't coming, I guess. Baltz told the police that the mother had given him permission to pull the tooth. Then he told the police that his father and his grandfather were dentists, so he knew what he was doing.
I don't know if this does this to anyone else, but the whole loose tooth thing to this day creeps me out when I hear it, like that it's like this, and you know, it's moving back and forth, and you can just pull it out. It's like that that gives me the willies to this day.
Really? I used to love to play with my loose teeth.
Oh, my God.
My son, the first tooth my son lost, we were up in Lake Tahoe on vacation at a ski resort, and he had this loose tooth, and he came into the bathroom, and this thing was just hanging.
By a thread, yeah.
Yeah, and so I took it, and I pulled it, and it just popped right out. And he looked at it, and he went pale and pitched dead forward in the bathroom, and I caught him about 3 inches from the bathtub. I mean, it was like... And I thought he was screwing around. And I realized he wasn't. He went down.
You can go on YouTube and you can look up videos of original ways to pull teeth. Yeah. And I've seen a bunch of them. I've seen guys, you got a tooth attached to a string, attached to like a model rocket. You know, I've seen them attached to like...
doorknobs.
Doorknobs to remote control cars. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Well, anyway, the kicker...
Attached to a dog's collar and then someone calls the dog...
Okay.
The kicker to the story is that once in the police station, because he was arrested for assault or disorderly conduct, he ended up with a 0.2% blood alcohol level, which is a bit drunk. His girlfriend, apparently, who came to pick him up, told the police that he does stupid things when he's drunk. That would be one of them.
Stupid isn't a crime.
Yeah.
No, but apparently yanking the tooth out of a kid's head is.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We have an update on something that we reported on probably like 2 years ago.
Wow.
In Pittsburgh, remember the woman who had her child taken away because she tested positive for opiates? She'd eaten a poppy seed muffin
right, the
morning she gave birth?
Yeah.
Well, she sued the hospital. She got the baby back 5 days later because... You know, the poppy seed muffin passed, and, yeah, you know, they found out, no, she's not doing heroin. So she got her daughter back 5 days later, but, you know, after much emotional trauma and torture and blah, blah, blah.
How much was that worth?
She sued the hospital. They've paid all her medical bills and gave her $143,500 in cash.
Okay.
That's what she's taking home. I don't know
for
what the lawyers...
not having a kid for 5 days, that's pretty good.
I don't know what the lawyers took home. That was how much she took
home. I would gladly let my daughter go stay somewhere for 5 days for $143,000.
It turns out that they're actually investigating the hospital, Jameson Hospital. Federal standard for drug tests in maternity wards of that type of thing is 2,000 nanograms per millimeter for each substance. And the Jameson Hospital regularly uses a reading of 300 nanograms, yep. which means if she had taken cough syrup 2 years ago, they would have found something. I mean, it's an extremely sensitive setting for the test,
yeah,
which they're not supposed to be using.
I want to dial that back a tad.
Yeah, well, they probably will now, $143,000, plus medical bills, plus lawyer's fees later.
Yeah.
How come they didn't do that for us?
We didn't have a baby?
No, but I mean, I'm looking at my daughter sitting over there. I'm like, you know, her mom could have had a poppy seed muffin. We could have been made $143,000. Would be
See?
Awesome.
That was your problem. You went and got blueberry muffins.
That, yeah.
Okay, in Salt Lake City, obviously this one was sent in by Brian.
Who's Brian?
I don't know.
Brian's made an appearance.
Several police officers were attacked by three dogs, pit bulls, on Thursday night. The officers had to use pepper spray to subdue the dogs and in order to protect themselves.
That 9mm in their other pocket would have
worked
well, too.
Well, they didn't really want to do that because the dogs were not... Ah, don't do that. You can break your tooth. Courtney's opening a water bottle with her teeth. How many times did I say don't do that? You're going to break your teeth. Okay.
The
plus,
dogs.
Plus,
she
we
got
paid
the shiny,
for those
pearly
teeth.
Whites right there.
We own those teeth. Please
the
don't
dogs.
Break them.
The dogs.
Anyway, the dogs.
The dogs.
They didn't really want to shoot the dogs because the dogs were actually protecting their owner, a woman who was laying face down in a parking lot.
Huh.
So the police had to find out what was wrong with the woman. Did she need a hospital? You know, blah, blah, blah. And the dogs wouldn't let the police near the woman because they were protecting her.
Yes.
They got the pepper spray. The dogs got subdued. They're fine. The dogs are going to be fine. It turned out she just had a little too much to drink and wanted to take a nap. She thought the parking lot was a good place to do that.
Well, she's got protectors.
And That's she's right. protected, yeah. I mean, hey. So it says in the story, officers were able to determine that the woman had consumed a large amount of alcohol earlier in the day, which contributed to her passing out on the ground.
We have a guy you that think? Hangs out near my store. And this guy, you know, it's a typical drunk thing. It's like wherever he happens to be, if he wants to sleep, he'll like lay down in the bushes. He lay down in the parking lot at the Albertsons grocery store. You know, and then he can't figure out. He goes, God, the cops are always hassling me. You're laying down in the driveway part of the parking lot.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, you know. And he's like, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm like, you know.
You're impeding traffic.
Yeah, move somewhere. Like, try and make it to somewhere.
Make it to the bushes.
At least.
Well, and he's been in the bushes numerous times.
Yeah.
Well, neither the woman nor the officers or the dogs were truly injured in the incident.
No one was harmed in the story?
In the making of this movie. The dogs were allowed to go home with the woman after she was charged and had sobered up.
Oh, good.
Well, good.
I like how you popped your pee in the up that way. That's good.
Popped your pee?
Okay, this last one, we have yet another health food trend. In New York, of all places, because that's where all the healthy things happen, they've opened up a gourmet popcorn bar. Ooh. Now, popcorn is fairly good for you. It's high in fiber. It has some micronutrients that we need, you know.
I love that micronutrients. That stuff that's drizzled in the white and dark chocolate. I love that. That's good for me.
Well, not the white and dark. Well, maybe the dark chocolate is. Dark chocolate popcorn. There you go. That's
there you go.
Two health foods in one.
Popcornopolis.
This would probably not be so helpful for us. At this particular gourmet popcorn bar, what they have created is wine-soaked popcorn. Pinot Noir chocolate drizzle and Sauvignon Blanc kettle corn.
Really?
Really?
You have the name of this place?
I don't think that would be very crunchy popcorn.
Artisan popcorn maker Populence.
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 Populence. Yes.
Now, the cool thing is they probably make other popcorns that are really bitchin'.
They do. They have other flavors. These are just the two wine-soaked ones. 1 gallon of the popcorn costs $28 in the store and $35 on its website.
But is it gooey? I mean, you'd think it would
be... No. What I'm gathering from the story is that they soak the kernels and then let them dry, and then it's popped. So it has the essence of that flavor on it.
Hmm.
I mean, you couldn't...
That'd be good.
You couldn't coat popcorn in something liquid like that. It would shrivel up.
Well, maybe you could do it in, like, the way, you know, like with a really light mist or something. Because like when you put butter on popcorn, it gets like gooey. Yeah, but it would get gooey pretty quick.
Yeah, and plus you wouldn't be able to tin it and sell it. I mean, it would have to be.
Yeah.
I get the. It doesn't say exactly how.
Why don't you
make
just give me
story.
A bag of popcorn and a bottle of wine?
You'll just mix the two.
Yeah, that'll just work.
Okay, well that is the end of the boozy news. I love saying that when Bruce is just about to speak because it's the only thing that I can do to shut him up.
We have a movie theater near us that has like goodies that you can put on top, and there's like 20 different toppings you can put on your popcorn. That's awesome. Should be required at every movie theater.
But the nice thing is, I'm the editor.
That's right.
And once you guys do your dudes, I shut you down.
Yeah, well, you know what I love? I love when you go to the movie theater and they say, would you like butter on your popcorn? I go, no, I don't want butter, but I want loads of that partially hydrogenated vegetable lard with the yellow food coloring.
Yeah, that sounds good.
More of it.
That's good.
I love that kid. Dumb as a stump, but I love him.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at selfwillhappens.com.
We were gone so long, I forgot what the topic is.
Fellowship.
Oh.
Bing.
Fellowship.
Bing.
I think it's probably one of the single most important parts of the program. I mean, certainly the program is the program. I used to hate it when I'd hear people say, well, I'm working my program. Well, you should be working the program. You know, pretty much the program is like a recipe. It tells you what to do, who to do it with, when to do it, and what to do.
Of course, I always like when people try to point out to me what the most important part of the program is. Because I really don't give a crap what you think the most important part of the program is.
Well, it's kind of like when they say, the newcomer is the most important person in the meeting. No.
Bullshit.
I'm the most important person.
The coffee maker is the most important person.
I am the most important person.
I am the most important person.
I think it's the coffee maker.
I am.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not there, none of you matter to me at all.
That's true.
Well, you don't matter to us either, so it's a win-win.
No. Wow. Ouch. Shelly, throwing the barbs. So, fellowshipping. Big thing around the program. A thing that I love to do that not as many people are doing anymore of our group is going to coffee after a meeting.
You know, it's funny that actually that this came up because Sledgehammer, one of the guys on Facebook, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Sledgehammer Holmes.
Yeah, he might not have wanted that on the
air, but I don't think that's I'm not even sure that's his name.
Yeah. I don't think his mother hated him that much.
No, I don't think that's his name.
Yeah. Don't name your kid Sledgehammer.
So at any rate, he just posted something about how, you know, it used to be that we would go out for like to a restaurant for coffee after the meeting, or we'd go out to eat, or we'd hang out together or something. We'd do something after the meeting to fellowship, but now nobody does it anymore. Nobody cares. They just get in their cars and they leave, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure there's lots of people that still do it.
So where does this guy take everybody for fellowshipping afterwards?
Well, what I told him is I said, you know, we still go to coffee after meetings. Where are you? You join us.
Yeah, well, he's in Tacoma, so.
Oh, well.
You know what a good idea would be? Dude, after the meeting, grab three newcomers. Take an extra $10 with you. Take them to coffee.
Absolutely. I remember years ago, we used to go to coffee shops, Like we go to a Denny's or we
Denny's,
go to somewhere.
Coco's,
and
Caro's.
Oh my God! Back in the day when a cup of coffee was like 50 cents or 75 cents, we'd go to have coffee. We would sit there for hours and hours. We'd be there when the bars closed.
Yeah.
Which was highly entertaining.
Yes.
But, you know, we'd go in there. We'd have like seven people. We'd be spending $3.50, and we'd drink like 125 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about getting wired. But, oh, yeah. You know, it was a blast.
Well,
it was
first
a
of all,
blast.
We were cocaine addicts.
Yeah, that's
as
not
David
that different.
Bowie said, at this point in my life, coffee is but a sedative.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I still do that. I love the fellowship thing. I love doing that. I like going to conventions. I like hanging with people. We did a thing where we went deep sea fishing. Chartered a boat, took a bunch of people, like 20 people went, and you know, went down to San Diego, chartered a boat, went out, had a blast.
Ran out of sodas, bar was full of beer still.
Do you know what? It was funny because these guys were chartering a boat. They had like 11, you know, it's a bunch of guys. There was a couple women on it, but there's a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They way overstocked on beer. By the time we got back to port, the crew was hammered.
Yeah.
I mean, the crew was hammered. And we had like drank every Diet Pepsi, Coke, and Pepsi, and 7-Up that they even had. And the guy goes, I've never gone through this much coffee on a trip. Never. He goes, you guys can put the coffee away. And we're like, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Yes, Shelly, what do you think about fellowshipping?
I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. I mean, we used to go karaokeing, too. We used to do all kinds of things. I mean, but they're also, I mean, at least for me, I found that the whole going to coffee after every meeting thing, when you're going to 5 or 6 meetings a week, going to coffee every night, I'm not getting much done.
Burns a lot of time.
Yeah.
It does burn a lot of time.
The fellowship is important. It's great. You need to be able to sit down and chit-chat and get to know people outside of the meetings and stuff like that. However, my caveat emptor is that when fellowshipping begins to eat into your personal life in a way that, like, you're supposed to be getting your life back. And if all your life consists of is go to work, meeting, then spend 3 hours of coffee, there's not a lot of time for doing real life things. And so you have to kind of temper that. You know, and I still haven't found that balance.
Actually, we have Mark could tell a really good fellowshipping story right here. We just had Mike showed up to the Peanut Gallery and they went to a caravan to a meeting once.
I won't do that to Mike. He just walked away now. Yeah, we had we were caravanning to a marathon.
Bunch of people going
Bunch
together.
Bunch of people going to speak at this meeting. We had 3 cars. I was in the front, car in between, car at the back. The guy in the car in the back, as we're pulling out of the parking lot, drops a cigarette. Bends over to pick up the cigarette. We stop at the stop sign. I stop. The car behind me stops.
Car behind
guy
that
in the third car
stop.
Is picking up a cigarette. Next thing I know,
bam, bam.
Bam, bam. And we are in a 3-car accident in a parking lot outside of Starbucks. And we're supposed to be at this meeting in 20 minutes to speak.
Awesome.
And you've never seen a group of people that were so concerned about the guy who caused the accident and making sure he was okay and everybody's fine and everything's good. So, you know.
Except your sponsee. Except who gets out of the car holding his neck?
Yeah, and he was, yeah, yeah. And we got brushed.
Yeah,
so
we did.
Yeah, and then, but you know, fellowshipping 4th of July.
Where'd you go?
I went up to the last house on the block.
Oh, you could probably see fireworks from there.
15 fireworks shows going on. We can see all of them.
Yeah, because that house is way up on the hill, and it has a commanding view.
Yes, it does.
I love the name of that meeting because it absolutely is the last house on the block. And you can see miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. 20 miles any direction.
We could watch about 15 fireworks shows. I'm not kidding.
No, that must have been awesome.
It was great. I mean, we, you know, those who could brought a dish or two and couple guys kicked in and had burgers and hot dogs and hot links and kielbasa. And
we should have gone to that. I missed out.
Yep, we got over there and hung out, watched the fireworks shows for an hour and a half or so, and we left. I heard it went till well into the evening because the bonfire didn't start till about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
I had an offer today to go fellowship a friend of ours, Terry and Rhonda. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm making brisket. And then, you know, and we couldn't go. And, you know, and he listened. He's a show listener. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Terry. He's going to hear this. Then he sent me a text message of the brisket. And I'm like, thank you so much. He goes, yeah, I just, you know, I thought I'd make you feel a little bad. And this thing looked cooked perfectly. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, next time we'll do ribs. And I said, I'm totally up for it. Totally up for it.
Yeah.
Now, Shelley, you grew up around program because, you know, you were in Alateen and mom was in Al-Anon and dad was in AA. Do you guys do a lot of fellowshipping in that group?
Well, yeah, there was one particular restaurant. I don't know exactly what the name of it was, but it was in Upland. No, not Upland, Pomona. Because, or somewhere around there, my dad would go to a meeting at the Triangle Club.
Yep.
And I had an Alateen meeting, and my meeting got out first, and I would sit and wait for him. And then after his meeting, we always went to one particular restaurant with, like, I don't know, 20, 25 other guys. I mean, we took this back room with this huge table. And we went so often that the waitress knew exactly what I wanted. I always got a Coke and a big plate of sautéed mushrooms. I don't know why, but apparently at 10:30 at night, what?
Coke and shrooms.
Coke and shrooms, baby.
Apparently at 10:30 at night, what a 13-year-old wants is Coke and shrooms.
That makes you feel great at about 2 in the morning, Coke and shrooms.
So, I mean, we did some of that, and we went to a lot of, like, conventions to speak and stuff, so there was a lot of fellowshipping going on there. And
your dad used to ride motorcycles.
Yeah, my dad was in a motorcycle group that he called the Halos that he and my mom would drive around with. And, you know, I mean, we did a lot of stuff, and it seems like lately, yeah, some of the fellowshipping has slowed down, except for on holidays, which I think is probably the most important day for fellowshipping to happen, because they're hot-button days for people for some reason. I don't particularly know why, because it's just another day. But
I think Sunday night at 10:30 was an excellent time to get loaded.
So, I mean, holidays seem to be a good time for fellowshipping to go on. So apparently somebody's just moving right in. Here, let me come over.
Steal
all your popsicles. Make
your
popcorn.
Popcorn. We got everything.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. So, you know what's kind of funny? If you look at it realistically, we're fellowshipping right now when we do this show. I'm going to be eating some popcorn here. You guys at home can enjoy it with me. I don't know if you can hear that.
Good popcorn.
It's going to make it hard to talk. Actually, it's quite tasty.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I mean, I get that about the show, fellowshipping. I mean, it's, you know, when we're doing boozy news and we're just sitting around shooting the shit and before and after the show and during the breaks, it's total fellowshipping. I have that at my store. I've got guys in a program that work for me, and we hang out all the time. Matter of fact, we go out to coffee, we hang out in front of the store. We talk program and non-program and bullshit all day long,
mm-hmm.
and it's cool as hell.
Well, now, the great thing about going to coffee and fellowshipping and the meeting after the meeting is I think it gives especially newcomers an opportunity to listen and hear the things that you really don't need to hear in a meeting.
Right.
And they can ask questions and they can share a little bit about themselves because at coffee you can do that.
Well, and it's funny because it's kind of like if you said, I work at a plumbing agency, and we all go out and have beers or coffee or whatever after. Mm-hmm. You know, do they talk about some plumbing? Yes, they do. Do they talk about other shit? Yes, they do. They talk about the new movies out? Yes, they do. We're kind of like that as well. You know, it's almost like that on the show. Do we talk recovery? Yes, we do. Do we talk other shit? Yes, we do. You know, I
we're all recovery all the time.
100%.
We're all recovery 2%
of the
time.
Some of the time.
Yeah, you know what? I the bottom line is I'm all recovery all the time because I'm in recovery all the time. You know, I may talk about a lot of stuff and I might talk about a lot of smack, but I'm also talking about it in the perspective of someone who's in
the
program.
You no longer work the program. You are the program.
Yeah, that's it. The program. Bruce,
good
the
thing
program.
I just dusted off the Humble Trophy there.
Yeah. We do have the Humble Trophy sitting here. Mm-hmm. You know, I made the Humble Trophy.
I made the parts that went to making the Humble Trophy.
I mined the original ingredients that went into making the parts.
The first thought coming out of the womb to me
was to make
the
Humble Trophy.
Was a design for a Humble Trophy.
Okay, it's getting a little deep in here.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on fellowshipping be?
I think that the reason fellowshipping is very important in the program is that the whole concept of us being on a lifeboat together only works if we're still in the boat. You know, if you just go to meetings and then you get out of the boat and go off and to wherever, you can't really get to know people very well when you're just in a meeting. Because all you're hearing is what they're sharing. Or maybe they won't share or whatever.
And be careful with people on court cards.
Yeah. I
mean, it's like fellowshipping on coffee break.
No, I've lost my train of thought. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Wow. She K-bye'd.
K-bye. Mark.
Yeah.
Final thoughts on fellowshipping.
If you're in an area and you're upset because people aren't going out for coffee after a meeting, go out to coffee after the meeting. Take people with you. If you don't like that it doesn't exist, create it.
I'm all for that. I was going along similar lines. You know, I like the idea of, you know what, if people aren't going to coffee, announce at the meeting that there's going to be meeting after the meeting at coffee or at a restaurant, wherever the hell you want to go. Grab a couple newcomers. Tell them to go with you. And if it talks about in the Big Book, you will create the fellowship that you crave.
Yeah.
Shelley.
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
Be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe in the post. And if you would like to inquire about a franchise opportunity so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark, people are listening to the shoe.
It's a really big shoe. We appreciate you listening to the show, and whatever method you use to get the show, thank you very much. If you are listening to the show by some method other than Podomatic, we ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net and click on a current show. And from there you can like, you can go to permalink and comment, you can follow, you can be counted, you can add us to your playlist. We really appreciate if you go up onto our site and nose around a bit.
Absolutely, and you should go on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, become a fan of the Recovery 101 radio show. If you look it up like that, Recovery 101 radio show, you should find it. We also have a Facebook group that you can join, and you can interact with other fans of the group. We have a email address of recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
The lead out music is by our band of the month, Strangely All Right.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Good night.
And take care of you.
to go.